In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Let's just quickly declare that word of understanding. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. Now spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area. It's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Can we open our Bibles before you sit down? Please open your Bibles. Book of Proverbs chapter 4. It's our school of prayer again today. And we are just going to lay some emphasis. We are done with looking at Psalm 119. I just want us to use something, this particular portion, just to emphasize what we learned actually in Psalm 119. Proverbs chapter 4 from verse 20. Let's read it together. We're going to read from verse 20 to 23. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
I want to let's go. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health for all the whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. He said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all. My own Bible says like this, and health to all their whole body. Yeah, that's New American Standard. The Red Prince liked it, but he said the English is very funny. He said, but health to what? Their whole body. Now, greet somebody before you sit down. Just tell the person, you're welcome to the seat of wisdom. Welcome to wisdom. And the Lord will speak to you again today. Tell the person you are very wise. Tell the person you are very, very wise. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
We are going to pray. It's our school of prayer. I just want to remind us of some things that we have been saying for some time. And to emphasize the most important thing in Christianity, in prayer. We can ask God for many things, but the one that is most important is to ask Him for understanding in His Word. And that's what we did for a long time. And the reason why one of the reasons is that everything that He has prepared for us is in the Word of God. And I want to just give everybody an assignment. Try and teach people these facts. Sometimes you hear Christians pray, all right, the way they pray, it makes you very unhappy. Now, what they don't realize is that what God has prepared for us, all the solutions to our problems, everything we want in life is packaged in His Word. It's not packaged anywhere else. The Word, like one man said, every scripture is a molecule of power. I like that expression. It's every scripture is a molecule of power. Everything that God prepared for you is inside the Word of God. It's not elsewhere. Healing is inside God's Word. Your destiny is packaged in words. At the beginning, when God made everything and He wanted things to work, you know what He said? The Bible says He blessed them, saying, are you getting what I'm saying here? He didn't lay hands on them. He blessed them, doing what? Saying, be fruitful and multiply. It's a word. It's when He wants to bless something, He speaks to it. And what am I trying to say? All the blessing He has for us, the Bible says our blessing is in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Everything is packaged inside God's Word. That's why we want to pay attention to something. We don't pay attention to methods. We pay attention to what? The Word. You know, my wife was somewhere, and she said, they were talking about applying a program. And they were saying, look, we have to learn how to do this. She said, no, we don't need that. What we need is to learn the Word. Inside the Word is how to do everything. Are you getting my point? I don't know, there's one that's flying around these days. It's on the social media now, you know. You get it in about 3-5 different places. Somebody was analyzing, you know Davido. How many of you know Davido? How do you pronounce it, Davido or Davido? Davido. How did you know? your apostle came here, he's telling me it's Davido. How do you know? I know you don't sing one of his songs. Don't mind him. He doesn't know any of his songs, though. He's telling me it's Davido. It's Davido. The Lord is good. Now, because in the space of 5 days, three of his friends died. In the space of 5 days. One was on his 35th birthday. That one died. Then a few days later, both of them, 25, died. They found them dead in a car in a garage, you know, in Banana Island. All right, not in Ajegunle, in Banana Island. You know, the two young men were there, and the police think it's a case of drug abuse, all right? That is this last two. I don't know about the first one. So that has created a lot of talk here and there. And I didn't even know that Davido's father is a very wealthy man. I found out only, was it yesterday, when I was reading one of those things that people sent around. And of course, the one boy now wrote a very, very long article on how to, like, plan for your children to ensure that, explain the fact that the children of rich people, they are turning out to be entertainers, they are not trying to be business people, and all of that. And that he was trying to imply that the rich are getting it wrong with raising their children. That a pauper gives birth to a son, the son now becomes a prince because of hard labor and all of that. But what is happening is that after some time, the princes are now giving birth to children who are going to end up being paupers later because they do not learn the hard labor, the discipline, and all of those things of their father. Now, there's a problem. Of course, very long, everybody was, oh, this is nice, brethren like such things, very nice. In fact, one brother called me later, I said, thank you for your comment. Because I just chipped in my comment. I said, Prince, Papa, serious-minded or entertainer, whatever it is. I said, brethren, the only thing you can do is to teach your children righteousness and justice, make them love the word of God, make them fear God. Life is too complicated to plan anything. So forget, don't come and tell me, hey, my children are going to be paupers or princes. That's the problem between them and God. I have prayed for them. Are you getting my point? The job I have is to teach them righteousness and justice. Make sure they fear God. After that, I beg, life is too complicated. And one of the guys, that man who was writing actually, that man said something, I don't know whether it's a man or whoever wrote it. He said something that was very interesting, but I know most people will miss that particular point. He said that why don't the children of rich people, most of them, you know, strive like their father? He was trying to explain different reasons. Maybe they've been spoiled. But he added one reason that few people will notice. Just jump over it. He said, maybe they have seen so much money, they know that it's not worth anything. Maybe to them, they have realized the vanity of life. I don't know whether you get that side of it. That maybe they've realized that, look, all this running up and down is vanity. Now, I'm going somewhere here. So when people are talking about that, okay, how do you raise your children? How will you not raise your children? One is that, I was not moved. I wasn't afraid that kid will become a musician. For me, the only thing that you can do for children is to make sure they respect God's word. Focus their eyes on the word of God. Their destiny is inside there. You can't plot anything for them. You can't. You can't plot anything for anybody. Every blessing, everything that God has prepared for us as children is in God's word. When we're teaching about, when I talked about lifting up the rod of God that time, I emphasized it. In fact, I was he listening when a pastor Kimote was leading us in prayer about revive me according to thy word. He would quote a scripture and say, Lord, revive me according to that word. He would quote another scripture and say, Lord, revive me according to that word. That's how you're supposed to pray as believers. Because every solution is inside the word. I hope you're getting my point here. You see, when God showed up to the people of Israel, later when Moses was going to talk, he said, the day the Lord met with you on Mount Sinai, he said, did you see a form? They said, no. Did you see an image? No. What did you see? Nothing. That is the form of God. He said, Moses now said, but you heard words. I don't know whether you noticed that. He said, but you heard the voice. He said, but you heard the voice. They literally heard the voice of God. Now, when I read that, something struck me. I said, what was Moses saying? So, no, before that, he had said to them, for that reason, you will not make an image. You will not bow down to a graven image. I mean, whose image are you making? Are you getting my point? You can't see him. So how do you know what he looks like? He said, but you heard words. You heard a voice. And that struck me. I said, what was he saying in effect? Bow down to what? Words. I don't know whether you get the point. Yeah. Worship the word of God. That's what he was saying in effect. He said, you can't worship an image. You didn't see an image. He said, but you heard his voice. Essentially, worship around God's word. When you want to pray, I'm breaking it down now, pray around God's word. When you want to worship, worship around God's word. Whatever you want to serve, make sure it is the word of God you are serving. I'm emphasizing that there is nothing that God has prepared for us that's outside there. Let's do this again. We've read it many times before. Numbers chapter 21. Especially if you have an Amplified Bible. Numbers 21. Again, let's go over that story. What happened in Numbers 21? The people had problems. Serpents were biting them. Now, we're not going to talk about how they got to that particular point. What I just want to bring out is how this problem of the serpent was solved. In Numbers 21, go down to verse, let's just read from verse, from verse 4, just to get it in context. So then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. And in verse 5, they spoke against God and Moses. What did they say? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and water, and we loathe this miserable food. But the Lord, verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. Then they came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. We are not asking you to intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpent from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, notice this, God didn't remove the serpent. He said, verse 8, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard, that is on a pole, like a flag. You know the way we put a flag up. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, I want you to notice that. He looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, I always like to read that in the Amplified Bible. That brings out the sense of what Moses was saying, what the Lord said through Moses, clearly. Let me just read that quickly for us through in the Amplified Bible. Verse 9. He said, and Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked at the serpent of bronze attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. Now, please, I want to read that again. He said, Moses made a serpent of bronze and put on a pole. And if the serpent had bitten any man, when he looked at the serpent of bronze attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. How will a man live? Now, what do you mean by living? Let me just amplify it a bit. His physique, sickness is an example, and he needs to be healed. To be healed is what he means by living. Okay, he's poor. Nothing has ever worked out for him in life. So he needs to have prosperity injected into his system. Then, I mean, that's in that situation, the living is to have abundance. Abundance come to him. He has a disturbed home, all right, and he wants peace to come into that home. He has troubles in his mind. His mind is not settled. He has worries. He cannot sleep at night. How do I get these things to work? He said he will live in a particular way. The Bible says that the just shall acquire life by his faith. That faith, life comes into you as a result of faith. Now, that's what I'm trying to describe. Faith is not just, I have agreed. Now, I want to digress. You know me, I'm a master of digression. There's always a digression in my life anytime I start preaching. Now, remind me where I went into digression. Let me tell you where I am right now, so that in case I get lost. Why are they laughing? Where I am right now is that I said we live, we acquire life from the word of God by faith, all right? And that we just read from Moses that said we look to the serpent attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. And I use that one to connect with the fact, I wanted to now talk briefly about living by faith. So just now, this is not the digression. You say, what's digression? Wait, now let me do my digression first before you start laughing. The digression is that I want to talk about faith briefly. What faith really is. What faith really is. And why people will tell you they are saved by faith and they may not be saved at all. I want to just digress on that because apparently that thing is plenty outside. This issue of by faith I'm saved, what I do does not matter. And it's out there. It's out there. People quarrel with you all the time. In fact, just because of the internet connection where I will have posted a blog, all right, on that particular matter. Maybe that's why it's hot in my heart. I just finished writing it. Talking about the fact that why James had to write the book of James. Okay? Because people, you know, the other time I was on radio. People were calling to disagree with what I said. That I said faith, that salvation is by works. You know, sometimes you wonder whether people sit on their ears when they want to listen to you. Unplug their ears, put it down, sit on it. Then they just hear what you want to say, you know, what they want to hear, not what you are saying. All right? Salvation is by faith. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, but the faith can be dead. So the question is, that does faith that's dead save people? Let's answer that one. Can it save somebody? And James said it. He said, "Oh, foolish man, can't you see that faith that is dead can help no one?" Just by the way, we have to understand what faith means. Faith does not mean I agree. That's where I'm going. Faith doesn't mean I've heard it before. Faith doesn't mean that how many people want to give their lives to Christ? I put up my hand and I come forward and they lay hands on me and I've said I have believed. That's not what faith means. There's a word that goes with faith all the time. That word is called patience. And there's a reason why it goes with faith all the time, but because faith is not just a sport thing. Faith starts on a sport, but it keeps on getting dragged along. That is something that's continuous. So you cannot claim that you have faith for salvation if the faith is not persistent. We need to explain that. So somebody said, "I gave my life to Christ. That means I'm saved. I'm a sinner. I continue walking in my sin. Say I'm saved." And somebody said, "Once saved, always saved." It is true that once saved can be saved for a very long time. Are you getting my point? But my question is not even whether he is saved. Did you even start the salvation at all? Did you even start the salvation? That's the question. Was the salvation ever commenced? So we'll start talking about grace soon. So let me not preach the whole message now. Faith is not just I agree. That's why James said, the demons, if that's the case, they also believe. That's what James was saying. The fact that I agree that God is, so he said, demons, are they doubting that Jesus died for sins? Do they doubt that Jesus came in the flesh? Do they doubt that he rose up on the third day? They have no doubt concerning all of these things. Are they saved? He said, maybe they did not believe that he died for them. Okay, maybe he didn't die for them. Okay, now you are beginning to agree, therefore, that there are some qualifications to this matter. And that's what James was saying. That listen, you cannot just tell me that you agree that Jesus, say after me, that Jesus coming to my heart. Blah, 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 blah. Jesus, okay, I agree you said it, but did you open the heart? Or you just said it for the pastor to hear, then you close the heart? I listened to David Paulson once, and he said one young woman, let me not go into his own teachings, kind of a bit plenty, or let me put it like that. Okay, but he said something once, which I like the story. He said once a young woman came to him and said she doesn't understand that she's trying to live a Christian life, she's giving her life to Christ, but something just not working. So as if I'm not connecting with this Christianity thing. So he talked with the young woman, but as he was counseling with him, which if you counsel the people, you have to do that. Right? He was just asking God, give me revelation concerning the situation. As he was doing that, praying about it, suddenly he had an understanding about the situation. A thought came to his mind. So he asked the young woman, the person you are living with, are you married to him? And she said, no. That he said that marriage is just a piece of paper. Okay. So the person said, no problem. That was before. To be a Christian, you don't live with a man you're not married to. Marriage is not a piece of paper. So, if you want to continue living with him, you have to go and marry him. Otherwise, the two of you have to be married. Or, simply, you have to leave that place. And the girl was like, but he loves me and I love him. Let me add my own words. I didn't come to your house to ask questions. You were the one that came to me. To say, why is this Christianity thing not connecting in my life? What? And now the Lord has revealed to me that the truth is this. You are not ready to make a choice for Christ. So just don't have simply, well, sorry. That's the way it is. Now, this is what we try to teach sometimes. That as long as she has believed, it doesn't matter. Believe me, she has not believed. Why? Because James said, if that faith has no works, it is what? Dead. So her faith is dead. You agreed is not the question. We know you agreed. You came forward is not the issue. We know you came forward. But now, every time you claim you have faith, it demands a choice. You have to do some. That's what the people say, that you're not saved by the works of the law. Who talked about the law? I'm talking about the work of faith. Faith has its works. Law has its works. The works of the law is prescription by man. Even if it was Moses, that's the work of the law. You come to church 5 times a week. You pay tithe of everything you get. You fast this number of days. You do all of these things. You accomplish it. All we can do is promote you to deacon. You cannot be saved by it. Faith has its own works. When faith enters your heart, you will know its work that it's asking you for. And please, don't go to hell for an ignorant pastor's sake who is telling you your life does not matter. He's lying. They're lying. They're all over town. They're lying. I don't want to mention it. There are churches that anytime you tell me you're a member of that church, I'm wondering whether you're going to hell or going to heaven. I'm not joking, though. I suppose you know what I'm talking about. Because every Sunday, people get taught that your life doesn't matter. You are born again in your spirit. I'm here to tell you today, it matters. Why? That is the only way your faith talks. And if your faith cannot talk, it's dead. And that's what James was saying. If your faith cannot talk, your faith is dead. And don't tell me a man, a woman can be saved by a faith that is dead. Of course it's not possible. Dead faith and living faith, they look alike. Do you know if I take a piece of corn, a grain of corn, straight from the field, I put a few grains, 5, 10 of them in my hand. I take another set. One I put inside a glass case, all right, and heat it up to about 100 degrees and keep it for 20 minutes. In a sealed glass case, the corn gets very hot. Are you getting my point? But because I trap the moisture, it doesn't dry. It doesn't desiccate. And I cool it down again and bring it out. That one I heated for 200 degrees. Now, I didn't say 1,000. You know, when they are roasting corn, that one is 500 degrees. But just the temperature of boiling water. All right? But I don't let the water get into it. I don't let the water get out. I seal it very well. When I cool it down, both of them, will they look alike? Will you be able to tell the difference? When both of them have cooled down. When the hot one has cooled down and the one has fresh. Now, you know the grain in your hand, you know it's alive. Normally, yes. That corn, dry, the dry corn, I'm talking about the dry one, not the wet one, the one that's dried on the field. You know it's alive. But can you tell looking at it? The other one that I just heated up, I basically pasteurized it. Can you tell? Which time will you know which one is alive, which one is dead? Plant them first. On the surface, they both look alike. Many people's faith are like that, dead. And the only way you can say faith is alive or is not is by the works it produces. Because real faith is not just I agree. Real faith is more than I agree, I accept. I put up my hand. And I say it's a digression, right? Maybe the thing is hot. You know, we're going to start teaching on grace very soon. We need to explain to Christians. Don't receive the grace of God for nothing. Don't confuse yourself as to whether you are saved or you are not. Don't let anybody lie to you and deceive you. I see all kinds of pastors in town. One day, one of my sisters, she went somewhere, went to go and see an important person. As she was about to enter, a voice came to her. She just heard a voice. You know, she looked, somebody there. And the person said, "Beware of the leprosy of Naaman." So she looked. Anybody there? Nobody. But it was clear, beware of the leprosy of Naaman. She entered this woman's office. Sat down, finished talking, invited her for a program. They had this discussion. The woman asked her a few questions. Said, "Let me help you." Brought out money, cash, $500,000, I put on the table. So you can have it, helps you to help you towards the things you are doing. But before she entered, what was the last thing she heard? Beware of the leprosy of what? Naaman. How did Naaman get leprosy? Not the things we collect. So it was God letting her know, don't take that money. That's not the point. You see, that's not my gist too. For you to know why a lot of Christians are just confused out there. Then she went to church. I was just gisting her pastor. See what happened though. Had the pastor say, what now happened? You didn't take the money? She said no. Why? I just heard a warning before I entered that I should beware of the leprosy of Naaman. He said, you should have told God to send me the leprosy. You should have brought me the money. I told my sister, I said, that's not funny. Don't even tell me he was joking. That's a stupid joke. Yeah, true. You love money so much, that can be a joke to you. It's not funny. The person talking is a serious senior Christian. And told, look at the experience. I went to see so and so person. As I was about to enter the office, I heard the voice of the Lord say this to me. And when I entered, I was offered money. It looked like it was clean money, but the Lord had warned me not to touch that kind of money. And then the pastor said, oh, you let that money go. You should have told God to send me the leprosy. You for collect the money. I will take the leprosy. And those are the very people that come and preach to you. That faith is in the heart. Salvation is by faith. Once you believed, then you are okay. Digression, I said. And I know where I was. Because I told you so much where I was when I was digressing. I couldn't forget it. I'm just going to explain something about faith. Faith is not just I agree. No. It's not just I accept it. It's something about it, a character that is kind of difficult to explain, but it will manifest its reality by the demands that life puts on it. That's the thing about faith. Back to what we're reading, Numbers chapter 21. So we are saying every blessing is packaged inside God's word. Every blessing. How do we tap into it? It's by faith. The just shall receive, acquire, experience life by faith. He said, make a fairy serpent. Whoever will look at it attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, the person will live. And anybody who did that lived. And later on, John said to us, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. So whosoever lives, believes in him, yes, will be saved. All we're saying, believing in him there, that John was talking about, that John was telling you, how did the people of Israel believe? It was not just by saying, I believe. It was by looking at a serpent. Are you getting my point? Yes. The definition of believing here was a persistent gaze at the serpent. Now, I need to explain that further. What does it mean to gaze at that serpent? A man came, assuming, I'm just trying to paint some pictures. He was bitten by the serpent. He looks like he's falling very sick and is about to die. And the wife says to him, We need to go and look at the serpent. And he said, look, don't disturb me. How can a serpent on the pole be the solution to my problem? But the family rushes him there and puts him there by force and puts his face on the serpent. Will he be healed? No. No expectation. You are getting the point? No expectation. Or, okay, so people, that's how you want it. Takes a glance at the serpent. Takes his eyes away. Will he be healed? No. Let me summarize it. For the man to be healed, he has to look until he's healed. Not take a glance and go away. The man has to look until he's healed. That is, he will demonstrate his faith in that serpent on the standard if he is going to be healed. And how is he going to do that? It's by the persistent focus on that serpent. And that's how Jesus is lifted up. And that's how the word of God must be lifted up in our lives. That's how our solution is. Solution to prosperity is not a visa to America. You know something I wonder? Banky, are you not a broken down record? A broken record. You keep on saying the same thing again and again. But I realize that you have to keep saying it. Because people often forget. Solution to prosperity is not relocation. That if you want to solve prosperity issues. It's not, I get up and go from here, I go to Abuja, that's where money is. Prosperity, breakthrough, progress, success in life is a spiritual question. It's a spiritual question. It's something that, look, a lot can go to Sodom and Gomorrah because the plains there, they look well watered, like the garden of the Lord. Abraham went to the opposite. Abraham is the one that still prospered ultimately. Not Lot. Lot got temporary prosperity. They got permanent poverty. That's a matter of fact. Prosperity is inside your soul first. It must manifest. That is, it starts from inside, not from outside. You cannot solve a spiritual problem by physical manipulation. It doesn't work like that. Do you get my point? No, you can't solve a spiritual problem by making geographical rearrangement. It does not work. Our problems, our physical problems start from the spirit. So we solve it first of all from the realm of the spirit, not from outside. What is the solution to the poverty prosperity problem for a believer is the word of God. Another digression. The solution to prosperity It's not seed sowing. Did you hear what I said? I will say it's flat. You cannot give yourself out of poverty unless you stingilize your life into it in the first place. Is that English all right? At least we have manufactured the English. If it was not there before, you get my point. If stinginess did not send you into poverty, generous giving will not take you out of it. And how can you see? I mean, you were born poor, so is it, who said that this one should be born blind? So let's forget that then. Say, Pastor Bank, are you saying that seed and harvest does not exist? Did I say so? Why do people like to read me out of context? What I said is that the way by which you prosper is not by giving and giving till you prosper. That is not the way. I don't have all the time to explain it, but I will just say it. Now, for many of you, I'm answering your questions because you've given, you're tired of giving. Nothing don't happen. Should I tell you the truth? Keep on giving. Nothing will happen. Apostle Kemete. Let's digress inside the digression again. I did not say Christians should not give. I don't know why Christians like to read the upside down. I've noticed something about people who have given and given and given to come out of poverty. When it doesn't work, they become very wicked. I didn't say stingy. I said what? Wicked. You will see, they will see a serious cause going on like this. Say, brethren, we are raising money. We are raising 500,000 naira to be able to reach the poor and the orphans and the widows in this area. They are not going to give. Why? That's why I gave 6 years ago. They say I will see if I do something dangerous. I will see something serious. I have done everything dangerously. I have not seen anything serious till today. I get those mails all the time. We always get the mails. It's supposed to came with this job to be talking to people who have sown seeds and they have not seen any harvest. And it's not, his own is not to tell you harvest is coming. It's to let you that boy, nothing is coming. After bought the tie, I said, nothing will come. Don't worry yourself. He said, I gave dangerously last year. That's the end of it. The danger has been quenched. Thank God. You are still alive. We thank God for your life. Nothing will happen. You know why nothing will happen? Nothing was supposed to happen. Apostle, I'm enjoying myself. I like this preaching and preaching. This, when you say things like this, half of your congregation are confused. I like it. And they are waiting for you to explain. That's why I'm slowing down. So that they will wait for a long time. Listen, God cannot bless wicked people who are giving wickedly. You said, check up. If you were God, will you bless them? They are called lovers of self. Will you pour abundance into the lives of lovers of self? Think about it. You wouldn't do that. So if I give money so I can get plenty back, am I loving God or loving myself? It's common sense. Anybody can work that out. Let's say it again clearly. It is not by giving money you will get yourself out of poverty. It's not. Back on that, my digression side of the digression. I am not saying stop giving money. That's it, so. I never said that. I'm just saying that you cannot be doing that and creating more problems for yourself. Because every time you give, God is kind of displeased with you. When you give an offering, the Lord asks the angels, what is he looking for? He says, looking for a car. So that offering is what? He said, well, just quoting for you, Lord, we're not on his side. He said, it is a seat for his car. And he looks at Gabriel and goes, so what are we going to do for him? He says, send him Banky to go and tell him to wake up and stop making a fool of himself and those of us in heaven. That if he needed a car, does he not know how to ask? Tell him, can't he be kind? Can't he give to somebody if he doesn't have anything to gain out of it? He said, but he said that if you sow, you will reap. He said, you should have read what Jeremiah said, that I, the Lord, I search the heart first. He said, tell him that I check his heart. I don't just respond to his seed. I check why he's sowing the seed. And when he's sowing the seed like that, he's telling me that, like the person will say, I don't care about my children. They can't ask me for something simply the way a father will be asked by his children. And he will respond, me, I have to be bribed. They say it's a principle. I said, do I look like a principle? I look like a father. Back to the issue. The way out of poverty is in where? The word of God. Not looking for principles to use. We are looking for what he said to believe and believe in truth. I like to say this thing straight because Christians are too confused. And listen, people say, that, listen, you've heard a few testimonies. I have heard too many complaints. I've heard too many complaints. I still read a mail a few days ago. Somebody explained that, we're getting a reply off to the person that they said if I sow a dangerous seed, I will marry before January. Said 6 months have passed after that January, nothing don't happen. What am I doing wrong? I felt like telling the person, no, the seed is wrong. 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 You don't sow a seed to get a husband. So how do I do? I ask the Lord simply, Lord, I don't like to be single again. Connect me with a good man that you chose for me. And ask him in the name of Jesus and leave it there. And then go ahead, live a normal life of righteousness and justice. And then God will do what he has promised he would do. Once you put a seed, let me tell you the truth, you have removed from your faith. Because you have shifted your eyes. Remember, what are we looking at? The serpent on the standard. Once we take our eyes away, trouble. We have to look at him persistently, attentively, with a steady and absorbing gaze. We cannot afford to look at our seed for a second. If we have to look at the seed, he said the seed is what? The word of God. Only the word of God is the true seed. So people said, plant your seed. I agree with them 100%. It's just that what is the seed? The seed is not your money. The seed is the word of God. Please, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to deliver people. I'm trying to deliver people. Shouldn't Christians give? Christians, please, you must give. God loves a cheerful giver. Are you getting my point? I am just saying that he has not had to get things out of him. That's not how. Giving for us is what? A habit. It's a habit. It's a habit because of who we are. You know, the last time that we raised some money here for all of, many of you know what I'm talking about. There was a mission project we wanted to support. We're not the one doing it. We just feel like supporting. All right? What I didn't tell you was that our target was 1 million naira. You know, we just made the announcement. Just come and give. All right? Now, if you remember how I made the announcement, I said, I'm not promising you anything. Will your money be multiplied? None of my business. You should encourage people that their money will be multiplied. I don't like to teach wicked people who don't give except they are promising them something. So I said, you heard me here. Three announcements we made, 3 days. There is an important mission project that is going on. That's how we give. We know that our giving is important for somebody else, not for us. Someone will not tell me that somebody is going to give you a million naira tomorrow. I don't want your million naira. If I wanted it, I'd go and ask the Lord for it. And I do ask the Lord for money. And when I want to ask the Lord for money, you know what I do? I have a few scriptures. You said, you will cause prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. You will make all grace abound towards me. I will have all sufficiency in all things. I will abound to every good work. Those are the kind of scriptures I quote. And I receive it in the name of Jesus. I have never, by accident, mistakenly, said to the Lord, you know I gave towards this project. When are you multiplying it? If I do that, he might kill me. And I love my wife. I don't want to hand her over to another man. That alone is the reason why I have to live long. What kind of rubbish are Christians practice a lot of times? This rubbish give of investment giving is wickedness. It's wickedness. You are an evil soul. If you were God, will you bless you? He wouldn't bless you now. You are too wicked. Nothing goes for nothing. Scratch my back, I scratch your back. You carry it to God again. So, you know, if I pay my tithe, he will rebuke the devourer. God said, do I look like a mafia don? Pay me protection money. Said, don't let accuse you. Say, money not complete. How come I'm still having problems? I give you all the money. Didn't they give it to you? That's not our God. Our God is our Father who art in heaven, whose name is hallowed. I'm warning you. God's anger, it's almost starting. This insult that we all conspire to insult him every day. He doesn't do anything until you do something for him. If my son says that, I'm going to ask my wife, how did I give him that impression? I know that he never does anything until he does something for him. So why are you washing his car? I need to ask him, you know, school fees time is coming. So boys, let's wash daddy's car. Wake up every morning, correct daddy, ultimate daddy, no daddy but you. I say, yeah, guys, yeah. I say, Kilo says, I've been washing your car this morning. It's shining. Venga say, I washed the inside. Hallelujah, I washed the inside. So when I now come and say, daddy, I was the one that removed all the dirt, all the ground, everything inside. I say, all right, hey, but we have someone to ask you, what is it? Our school fees coming up next week. Now I want to ask my wife, where is the hidden camera? You people are doing a home movie. No, there has to be a movie going on. Where are the hidden cameras? But you know, it doesn't cross their mind that they should behave like that. They just come and say, our school said we should pay this amount of money. We told mommy, said she go and tell you. Simple. The school sent us, not us. Is it me? No. The school. They just drop. The other day I saw my wife holding list. I said, what is that? He said, for so and so person's school. It's not, please, man, can I have this money paid? No. This is what the school said. You said to. Go and discuss with your husband. Maybe two of them be God. But we'll now come and downgrade that God when it comes to the real Heavenly Father and say that nothing comes out of him until we give him something. Nonsense. You want to be blessed henceforth? Throw away all your seeds. He's tired of them. Want to be blessed henceforth? Eat two tithes. You need to consistently for like 2-3 months work the tithes. You know why? So that you will not be able to say anything but apart from mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. No, I've chopped. I've chopped your tithes. I've chopped it. Yeah, I'm telling you, some people need to sin some kind of dangerous sins so that they can really receive mercy. See what kind of sin? They just go there. They just chop tithes. So what are you eating? So this is the tithe. January, they'll go to the mall, buy ice cream, chop. Say, what is this? First fruit. Say, first fruit. Say, why? Say, so that God can forgive us. Say, I now want to pray. You know, that time, you will get results. I'm telling you. When you go and say, Father, good morning. Say, what do you want? Just as I am, without one plea. No, not one plea. Give me the money. Lord, I have not given. I have not tithed. I have worked the first fruit. So I have come begging you for mercy. I need to make progress this year. I am asking you in the name of Jesus Christ. Believe me, you are closer to salvation like that. And the man who comes, how Lord is the Babaya. I come in the name of Jesus, having paid my tithe and giving you the complete first fruit and all the offerings I've sown in the last 1 year. To year, this year is the year of my salvation, is the year of my seed yielding for me. This year, my seed shall germinate and the seed shall multiply and it shall become stronger in the stalk. And right now, it's about to fall in harvest. Lord, this is my season now. One angel, you all push you out roughly. Come on, get up, my friend. You know, I'll be wondering, how come these sinners are getting blessed? God will say, because you are a hypocrite. You don't have faith. You are pretending. They have faith. They have faith. They realize that they don't have any other thing apart from me. But you have come with your seed. So, and you are now insulting Jesus by saying, you're not praying the name of Jesus, you're praying the name of your seed. How am I praying like that today? I feel like people need to get some answers. Should Christians give? Most certainly. If you are not a giver, most likely you are a sinner. You are wicked. But you just are even more wicked. If you are if you are a habitual giver, but all your gifts is because you need something, you are even more wicked. And it would have been better you didn't give at all. Then every time you give, is tied to something you want to collect. Don't worry. I know I'm not a common one, but it's not unusual. It's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Don't have to be popular.
just has to be the truth. Listen, before you were born, God packaged a blessing for you. He called it His word. How do you activate the blessing is the word? Is by faith. The sign of faith here and there varies. We are looking at one here now. Anybody who believed in that serpent had to look up to it persistently. How do I know I have faith in the word? I focus on it all the time. How do I know I have faith in the word? I'm always looking at it. Things are not working out well for me. I don't start quoting. These guys are not helping me. These guys are not helping me. My uncle with all the money. One man was in my office the other day describing how his brother had made so much money. He said, well, of course, poor wife. Oh, wives don't suffer. When you can't blame your brother, you blame his wife. He said, because of his wife, he has not yet settled me. I looked at him. You need your brother to settle you. Strong man like you. That guy is about 40 years old from my assessment. He's very strong. He has a good skill. He works hard. So you are there waiting for your brother to settle you. He didn't know in my mind, I was telling him, your head is certainly not correct. Those who are hoping in the word of God, they don't have time for blaming other people. No, they don't have time. Joseph, who is hoping in God's word, if a man forgets him for 2 years, later he understood. You know, Joseph understood it. That is God that made the man forget. That's a matter of fact. If I'm hoping in God's word, I make sure that my life is always pleasing to Him. Not because I'm trying to bribe Him, but it's a sign that I'm hoping in His word. I'm hoping in God's word. I look at that word every day. I can't say I'm hoping in the word of God. I've not looked at it in the last 2 weeks. No, I'm not hoping in that word. I can't say I'm hoping in the word. Sometimes when I see people say they are too busy to go for Bible study, they are too busy. I said, look, I asked my wife. I said, apparently, your hope is not in the word. You're getting the point? No, apparently, your hope is not in the word. If your hope was in the word, how can you tell me you don't have time? You have hope somewhere else. No, you do have hope somewhere else. I've quoted this many times. Three ministers, two men and one woman, independently said one thing at the same time. They were all healing ministers. One, Lillian B. Yeomans. Two, John G. Lake. Three, Kennedy Hagin. Using different words, they said the same thing. They were healing ministers. And they said, listen, anybody who will give me the same attention that they give to the doctors, I will get them healed 100% of the times. No matter the condition, no matter the sickness. If they will just have as much hope, that is, as much faith, the amount of faith they give to the doctor, if they will give it to me, they will get healed. They were not talking about themselves. Kenneth Hagin will tell you that, look, he operates two ways when it comes to healing. One, there's a special gift of God. He lays hands on people, they get healed. It's a special anointing. Not everybody has it. Special anointing. He said, but it does not work all the time. There have been times he's ministering, he feels the thing heavy. And he starts laying hands on people. Anybody who will touch at such times, they will get healed. Just be touching people, anybody he touched will get healed. He said, that thing may last a while, then it might go off. He said, but the one that will work all the time, predictably, is when you take God's word and they pay attention to it. Let me tell you about faith. Many people are hypertensive. Many people are diabetic. They take their medicine every day. Every day. Every day. You know what they call every day? Every day for 50 years. Drug companies and doctors, sometimes they conspire to entrap. They're like drug dealers. You know what they call a drug dealer? Sometimes doctors and pharmacists behind your back working with Satan, they don't know. Satan will help them with national statistics to rearrange, to trap more people. Yeah, they do that. It's a spiritual manipulation. That's why Darwin in his days hated doctors with a passion. And as far as he was concerned, you're a sinner if you take medicine. I'm not saying I agree with him, but I'm trying to explain that he had his reasons. Now, what I mean is this. Sometimes the drugs doctors give, they're also as addictive as heroin, but we don't know it. I always advise you, before you start taking antihypertensives, try all your best not to start, because once you start, you can't stop. Yes. You get hooked on it. But the doctor will say, okay, come back in 5 weeks. You know, we are there diligently. Why? We don't want that. Take this tablet, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one at night, and inhale this one. You know what we do? We take the tablet, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one at night, and inhale one. We'll do that regularly and be there in 5 weeks. He said, oh, Mr. Ajalekoko, you are doing well. I said, doc, thank you. Now you will double the dose. The new one I have for you is expensive. Take it. And it has never crossed our minds to tell the man, all this money I've been paying, I'm not totally well yet. What are you doing? You're not a faithful doctor. It doesn't cross our minds. I realize that. Keep on going. I said, this is my doctor, is good. I've been seeing him for 25 years. Very good doctor. It doesn't cross your mind that he hasn't cured you in 25 years. That's what is called faith. It's called faith. That's why this man of God, those two men of God and that woman said, just dash me that faith. And I guarantee you 100% of the times you will get well. What does that mean? I will tell you, come. Check into a hotel near our ministry. And we are going to be attending meeting morning and evening for 2 weeks. If your doctor asks you for that, wouldn't you do that? You do it. Hey, so do it for me too. Then you come in the morning. I will tell you, eat a light breakfast. Then come with a Bible. And we will start reading. I will keep on declaring God's word to you. After a while, I will say, let us rise up. Let us worship. He said, if you will just follow what I'm saying, you will get well 100% of the times. The only difference is that I will not charge you. Your doctor will charge. That's what I talked about, faith. Faith is not I agree. Faith is what I agree concerning. Am I willing to do what it is demanding? That's what faith is. Faith is a commitment. Faith is like marriage. You know, that's what it is. It's like marriage. It's not let us see whether it will work. It is for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. For richer, for poorer, till death us do part. That is, I have chosen to trust God's word. I'm holding on to it. I'm not going anywhere else. That's what faith is. So what if the word kills you? Even though he slays me, yet I will trust him. That's what faith is. You know what Jesus said? Speaking to Moses, he said, whoever will do that, he will live. Are you getting my point? He said, whoever will do that, will live. Whoever will take this word and hold it up. What is the key to breaking the back of poverty? Take the word. Whatever he says is true. You know, sometimes we have had, you know, some of the challenges I've had concerning faith is an interesting type. It's stories. That my ability to withstand stories. A friend of mine was seriously sick. People said that his uncle that was worrying him. He called me. I said, what do you think? I said, you're a believer, your uncle can't worry you. You know the interesting part? Do you know he died? But it didn't cross our mind that his uncle was worrying him. That's what I call a challenge of faith. You know, I say, hey, were we wrong? No. Let them tell me that the uncle is worrying another person. Let that one die too. I said, tell the uncle, you can't worry anybody. If the uncle say, you won't try me, I will tell him, try me. If not so, you get power to worry. Worry this guy. I'm not going to change my mind because of you. Stories don't, people's stories not to affect my life. I went to preach once. I said, a witch cannot kill a believer. A woman came to me at the end. They said, sir, I want to talk to you. I said, well, saying, hey, that thing you said, a witch killed my husband. The mother is a witch. I said, your husband was not a believer. I didn't even, before she finished, I said, your husband was not a believer. And he said, okay, actually, you see. I said, hey, I know, actually, I saw. I mean, it had to be like that. I didn't break, listen, I've heard a young woman talk to me. She was crying throughout. But her father, dedicated Christian, was killed because the mother was a witch. I didn't know how to tell her that. Forget that thing. That, and the man died. I said, I didn't know how to tell her, but I used many words. But I said, listen, okay, what killed your father is between him and his God. That witchcraft of a mother is not the one who killed your father. The painful part is that why the girl was so in distress. She has children. And she confessed that she's always afraid. I just prayed for her that I didn't know what else to say. But you can't change my mind. Because if I agree with you, I have to disagree with too many other things. I have to agree that lesser is he that is in me than he that is in the witch. I have to agree with that. I have to agree with you that I'm seated in, you know, earthly places, far below principalities and powers. I have to agree that my life is outside God, away from Christ. I cannot say it is hid with Christ in God. I can't say that. I have to agree that all things have not passed away in my life. I will have to agree with you that my sins have not been forgiven. So the song that says we'll never lose his power is a bad song. I have to start singing, it has now lost his power. I have to agree that the blood doesn't cleanse. I have to agree that it doesn't have power. It's easier and cheaper, just ordinary cost, for me to disagree with you and agree with the word of God. That's a matter of fact. What am I saying? Where is our healing? It's in God's word. It's in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus is the word of God. So, what it says, I lift him up all the time and I focus on him. Please, another warning. You know, I warned you about seed sowing. Be a generous giver, amen? Amen. Forget sowing seed. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness in that area. And I know about it. I'm aware of it. But I have to cry. I was raised up to cry in that area. That's a matter of fact. But let me just put a few sentences and be clear. One, Christians are generous givers. Amen? Amen. That's why I told the story about our mission thing that we're doing. We're generous givers. We give to the work of the gospel. We give to ministers of the gospel. We give to the poor. We give to the needy. If we are not doing that, we are backsliding. We are backsliding if we are not doing all of these things. But we are not just doing them because we want to get. Once we start doing them because of what we are going to get, we have become sinners like those who don't give at all. Actually worse than them. That's what I've said. And I think it is enough. Let's stop that nonsense. We should stop it. But next thing I want to say, please, your solution is in the word of God. It's not in fire prayer. What did I say? Not in fire prayer. Your enemies, you don't have to command them to die. The instruction that Jesus gave, the first prayer point he ever gave, was pray for your enemies. Some of you that are so sure that your father-in-law is an enemy. No, you are the father-in-laws. They are hardly enemies. Only 1 in 10 father-in-laws. Most enemies are mothers-in-law, sisters-in-law, and stuff like that. Some of you are so sure. This is a sign of faith. The only time you mention that fellow's name in prayer is to bless the person. Otherwise, don't talk about him or her. It's a sign of faith. It's a sign that your solution is in the word of God. If you are still going and say, we went altar versus altar. Believe me, your altar will crumble under your feet and you will be injured. You will fall from a mountain. I'm telling you the truth, though. I'm giving you true prophecy. Next time you go and pray those rubbish prayers. This year, you will say that every power arrayed against me, they will die by fire. You will be wounded. Not because your God is weak, but your God is angry. That when you have attacks like that, what should you do? Meditate on his word. Is that what we're reading in Psalm 119? If you're not around 2 Tuesdays ago, we talked about that. How to react to those so-called attacks. What you do is you bring out the scriptures and start meditating. What about when they are arrayed against me? I will say, what does God say about that? He said, God said he will be confused. Amen. So me, I meditate on the word. Father God, my destiny is in you. It's not in the hands of any man. All this staying up at night, trying to enforce your destiny as fighting other people. In 2017, it will injure you. Not kidding. You are wasting divine timing. God gave you time, you're throwing it away. Your victory is in the word, is in Christ, not in that rubbish fire prayer. Yes, I'm speaking the voice of one crying in the wilderness, telling Christians, stop praying nonsense prayers. You have enemies, bless them. That's what Jesus said. Do good to them. Christmas is coming. If you are afraid to go to the village, you'll be wounded in town. You don't have to go. I called my mother the other day. Said, people come. I said, no. I said, what am I coming to see? You have not had light for 2 years. What am I coming to see there? So I'm not saying you must go. I said, come and visit us in Enugu. So, but it's not of here. Of when she will see me. Organized crusade. That's how to quench your fear. If you are afraid, let me tell you what to do. Gather three people. Look for Gorodom. You know what they call Gorodom? You know what they call Gorodom? Drum. Well, you used to call it Gorodom. I don't know why. Look for four drums and a few planks. What is that? Stage. Thank you. Okay, Mute is not going home this Christmas. Invite him. And stand in front. Just print a few flyers. Get an interpreter. Say, Pastor Kemute, please come. Don't call me, I'm not coming. Are you getting my back? Call Kemute. No, it's December. Me, I'm going to be resting. Okay, Kemute will still be preaching. They let them stand there and bless the village. And tell people to give their life to Christ. Tell them to bring the sick, the blind, the lame, everybody. Tell them to come. Lay hands on them. If you do that, you won't be afraid again. You are forbidden as a child of God from being afraid. You know what, God said to Jeremiah? He said, if you are afraid of them, I will disgrace you before them. See what I'm saying here? So you are in trouble now. Yeah, you are in trouble with God. But it's easy trouble to solve. Just win. Are you getting my point? Just say, I'm a winner. Lord, where did you say we should go? Just go with the power of the Spirit. You now realize that your trouble was good for you. You know what's happening? God is standing behind you like this. Say, if you turn, go forward. One more thing. That's your special witch of an auntie. Hey, Apostle, am I prophesying this evening? I'm suspecting. You know, December is coming now. That special witch of an auntie, buy cloth for her. Yeah. You must buy. You must buy. And you must give it to her. Let me tell you the truth. Your auntie is not a witch. She's not a witch. The worst thing that she's confused. Her bad talk, she's been talking like she was a child. She can't do you anything. She's just a wicked person, you know what I mean? She was not trained to be nice. But give her cloth this Christmas. Don't buy a cheap one. Buy something decent that she can wear with pride. Make her feel good. Nobody does it. Have you noticed? Every time you see her, she's not looking good. Why? Everybody calls her a witch. They're all afraid. Why don't you just show that you are delivered? I told you I have a family friend. The man in his house, his own children will not stay inside the house. But he has a nephew, a cousin to his kids. He's a real delivered man. They said the man is an occultist. He's in the Ogboni, he's this and that. Yeah, because that one comes home. Why the sons of the house can't enter? He will enter. He has money, so he can stay in any hotel. No, he will stay in that house. Eat whatever food he finds without asking questions. And next day, of course, I'm never there. I assume he will dash the man money, start his car, wave him bye-bye, and drive off. Why? He's delivered. He's free. Any place you go to, and they are still trying to ask you where your placenta is, just know you, your pastor, both of you, your heads are not correct. I'm not joking. No. You see smile for my face? No, that's not serious. 2017. And you were born 30 years ago. You are wondering where your placenta is. Oh, Lord. The Lord is good. Hi. Oh, God. Freedom in Christ is sweet. Some people tell you that your grandfather served idols. That's why you have problems. Ask whose grandfather didn't serve something. Just ask. I'm not even saying that you should argue. Just ask. Bishop Oyedepo, what did your great-grandfather serve? W.F. Kumuyi, I know your grandfather. What did he not serve? It's not what he said. What did he not serve? Have you never read that he said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. That's what we are preaching. I believe in those spiritual things. Like the man I told you about now, he didn't deny it. But the man that had freedom in Christ doesn't give a hoot. He sleeps. That's why I say enough of nonsense prayer. Nobody is the reason why you are not making progress. Nobody. Your freedom is where? packaged in what? The word. So if we are going to be free, we lift up the word on a daily basis. Say, what if I'm dreaming bad dreams? I like that one. You know, that's easiest to solve. You know, it's a small challenge. Just don't ready like five scriptures, they wait. When you want to sleep, you know, you are warming up for battle. Let me tell you the truth. Once you hold those scriptures, the bad dream will run away. Bad dream too, they fail. You don't know that. Wake up that night and declare the word of God. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. I am seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. I am seated with Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My life is hid with Christ in God. I have been redeemed. All things have passed away. I have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom I have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Don't even pray. Just read out those scriptures and go and sleep. The demon that comes back will go to hellfire that day. You know, the demons, they know who they check. You know, they go look, say, can we scare this guy? They check. Say, blow in his face. Yes, I rebuke you. He's afraid. Blow again. Holy Ghost fire. Oh, my enemy. I say, we have caught this one. Some people, Satan keeps them up every night. You know, Satan has made up his mind. Some people will not sleep.
Yeah.
Oh. So Satan, what are you going to do? Say that one, he can't sleep. We'll run him mental. Just watch it. I'm going to do it. He said, there's no hala. He said, hey, as Monday we show up. Odysseus will come. He said, there's no hala. How many of you have seen this film? Both. There's one movie, it's an animated film, Bolt. There's one part of that film, Bolt, that I like so much. The little dog, Bolt, believes that what is happening is real. So there are two cats that come and be teasing the dog. Say, we're going to get that your girl. That is, you know, there's a girl that owns the dog. We're going to get her. And the two of them are playing. And Bolt, tell the green-eyed man that I'm coming to get him. He can never catch my... But what, you know, what's the name of that girl? Eh? Oh, you forgot the name of the girl. Anyway, let's assume the girl's name is Girl, all right? Say, you can never get Girl. You can't get her. I'm here to protect her. You know, the two cats are playing. So anytime they want to play, they'll go to where Bolt is. I say, how? Oh. We are looking for your girl. We're about to get her. Then both will start getting crazy. Backing. Then they run away. Say, I told you, it's very easy. Listen, that is how Satan is doing some people. He knows he can't do anything to them. He knows. He's aware. He knows. He said, but don't let him sleep. So they come at night in the dream. As Mondays will come and say, huh, I'm an ancestral spirit. They better wake up and start binding every ancestral spirit in this house. Holy Ghost fire. Fire on the mountain. Fire, fall. Fire is falling. Holy Ghost fire. It wake the children up. Let us pray as Mondays is around. In the name of Jesus. What you don't know is that's all as Mondays wanted. So as Mondays will now go to one corner and be looking. Then when you say, in Jesus' name, amen. That's 1.5 hours later. That's it. Odysseus, your turn. Odysseus will show up, and the spirit of poverty and death. I see death around you. Then they'll start again. Spirit of death, we bind you. Odysseus will go and go and start with Asmodeus, be looking. Say, this job is sweet, though. And the person will go to church and go and give testimony. Testimony. Then the pastor will now come. Say, let's make the deliverance secure. 14 days fast. Midnight prayer. Say, when do these dreams start? Around 2 a.m. So 2 a.m. you wake up. Before they arrive, say, wake up 1:45. What you don't know is that this is exactly what Satan wants. After 2 months, when they are seeing you won't know you've lost weight. Your eyes are red. You have not eaten well in 2 months. You say you are fasting. Your eyes don't red. Don't lose weight. No sleep. You have not been sleeping. Then you now start having real mental problems. You will not listen. You, of course, I don't need to tell you. You don't sow seed there. You don't almost sow seed there. You don't broke. You are on your bank itself. Overdraft to sow seed just because of deliverance. Is that not why God sent you here this evening? He said, "Oh boy, oh girl, go and sleep." Like we say jokingly, it have do. Your mumu don't do. Your mumu don't. Honestly, your mumu don't do. Next time, as Mondays come, just tell her, don't even answer him. See, yeah, my ancestral spirit, I think I'll punish you. Just go. Don't even answer him. Just go and sleep. I'm a spirit of death. Say, go and kill yourself. Don't even answer. Don't go. Just go sleep. After 2 days, they will find another victim. And you stop giving off all your offerings for deliverance. Stop it. Next time you want to give offerings for serious matter. You hear somebody is going to preach a gospel in the dangerous area. I say, I will pray with you. Here's my 5,000. Please use it to buy something when you are preaching. You hear that, one child can't pay school fees. That's already subsidized by federal government. You know, we say federal government has given every Nigerian child a scholarship. We didn't know before. Oh, you've not heard the announcement. Every Nigerian child, once you can go to federal school, you're on scholarship. But that money you're paying is not money. So just say that little, the father doesn't just collect, say take. That's real offering. Say, give a seed for your deliverance. Say, don't start to. After God has delivered me, please. I don't start to play with Asmundius. I told them I have a dog. I told the dog they behave. My children learn the trick. When he wants to charge at you, that's members of the family. I don't know about strangers. Please, when he wants to charge, if you're a stranger, wait outside. But for members of when he's charging grr, like that, when you start beating the dog, go away, move. No beating it and shouting, sit down, get away. You know what? That's what he was hoping for. He thinks it is play. So one day, one of my children just stood down and said, don't worry, just ignore him. Just stand still. So that one actually stood still. The guy that one didn't answer. Just walk and look for somebody else. No, really. Because for him, it's play. So when you don't play, he's not happy. Many of these things that we are praying is demonic play. Demons come to our church because that is where the action is. Yeah, that's where the action is. You think demons too don't like entertainment? Cast you out. Good. You're checking video, you'll be watching you on YouTube. But I'm telling you today, ignore them. Are you getting my point? Focus on who? On Christ. Focus on what he has done. Let's rise to our feet. Let's focus on what he has done. Let's focus on the deliverance he has birthed for us. Let's focus on the word of God. Let's focus on God's word. Deliverance is in Christ Jesus. Deliverance is in Christ Jesus. It's not in any other things. Because our school of prayer, we are learning how to pray. This is how we pray. We meditate on God's word. Let's just start with thanks. You say, Father, I thank you for freedom. That's what I want you to thank God for. Just say those words. Say, Lord, I thank you for freedom. Say, Lord, I thank you for freedom. Lord, I thank you because I'm not bound. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm not bound. Thank you, I'm free. Give thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because in Christ Jesus, I am free. Lord, I thank you. Because in Christ Jesus, I am free. Lord, I thank you. Because all my sins are washed away. The hold that Satan has in my life has been removed. Say, Lord, I thank you. I am free. Thank you for my grandmother. Thank you for my mother-in-law. Thank you for my auntie. All those people that they said were witches, thank God for their lives. Say, Lord, I ask for them this evening. Reveal Christ Jesus to them. Don't let them die in their sins. Reveal Christ Jesus to them. Send a laborer into their own harvest. Let them be harvested for Christ. I want to see them in heaven. Forgive them of their sins. Bless them. Increase them. Help them, Father. Let their own sins be washed away. As mine has been washed away. As my sins have been washed away. Lord, wash them also. Thank you for the deliverance I have in Christ. Thank you for the solution to all my problems packaged in the word of God. Thank you because freedom has been given to me in Christ Jesus. Say, Lord, thank you. Just give him that. Start thanking God. Start thanking God. Sing a song if you have to. Wave your hands to him if you have to. Say, Lord, I thank you. I have been set free. Lord, I thank you. I have been delivered. Lord, I thank you. I am no longer bound. Lord, I thank you. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. I have been delivered. Lord, I have been delivered. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Say, Lord, the Son has set me free. I am free indeed. Say, Lord, the Son has set me free, and I'm free indeed. Say, oh, Lord, the Son has set me free. and I am free indeed. Declare, say, I'm free from poverty. I'm free from sicknesses. I'm free from premature death. Say, I'm free from premature death. Somebody said they see death around me. Say, yes, he's running away. That's why they are seeing him around me. He's running away. I am free from premature death. I have been delivered. That spirit of death, the power has been broken. Say, the blood of Jesus has washed me. Declare, say, upon my life, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus is upon my life. The blood of Jesus is on my head. It's flowing down all over me. Down all over me. Washing me clean. He has removed the ability of death to hold me. Fear has been removed. Bondage has been broken. I want you to declare those words over your life. Say, fear has been removed. Bondage has been broken. Limitations have been removed. Sins have been forgiven. Sicknesses are healed. Oh, say, in my life, this is what Jesus has done. Say, I have purpose. I have a reason to live. I have a hope. I have an expected end. Jesus paid for these things for me. Now, I want you to declare, say, it's not because of what I have done. Say, you have to tell the Lord. I say, Lord, it's not because of what I have done. It's because Jesus is good. He's merciful. He died, shed his blood to set me free. It's because Jesus is good. It's because he shed his blood. Say, limitations have been broken because Jesus died. Sicknesses have been healed because he died. Favor has been brought into my life because he died and rose again. Say, Jesus, I commit my life to you again. If you are not born again, that's what it means to be born again. To commit your life to Christ. No, you are not coming to look for solution. You are committing your life to Christ. If you are there, you have not given your life to Christ. Crucial, it's crucial. That's what Christianity means. I have committed my life to Christ. Yes, by the power of his blood, he bought. It's a price. He delivered you from the kingdom of darkness, for the domain of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear son, where Jesus rules, where Jesus reigns, where his life permeates everything, where sicknesses are forgiven. Say, I receive your mercy. Sometimes people say that, can God forgive me? I've come to tell you this evening, yes. Not can he has. Yes, sir. He has. That's why Jesus died the death he died. Specifically to forgive you. No matter what you think you have done. Listen, those he cannot forgive, they are not thinking of him. They are not thinking of him. And that's why he can't. They can't even come to him. But you have come. And you are wondering, can he? That is a sign that he has. The spirit that says, can he, is a sign that he has. That you are attracted to come here this evening is a sign that he has forgiven you. He's calling, making you new again. Declare to him this evening, say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness. I receive new life. I receive new life. I receive new life. Everything has been forgiven. I have never done anything wrong. As far as God is concerned, you have never sinned. Yeah, that's what Jesus paid to ensure. God looks and they say, look at her. She has never done anything wrong. Look at him, pure, just been born. Never done anything wrong. On that basis, he blesses you. Not because of what you have done, but because you have never done anything. Because Jesus has done everything. Now give thanks. It's a sign that you believe. Give thanks. It's a sign that you believe. Give thanks. Give thanks. I feel like telling somebody you don't have any disadvantage. Don't read too many newspapers. They lie to you. They make you look like monkeypox has taken everywhere. They have not yet confirmed up to a handful of cases. So don't worry. Newspapers like to scare you. The economy is going down. Who told you? You are going up. I came to Enugu those days. Story. I've only increased. I have not gone down. And listen, the country is going forward. Don't let them lie to you. Fulani herdsmen, they are not taking you over. They have their own problems. All the noise they are making, they are trying to solve their own problems too. Don't worry. Your future is bright. That's what I'm saying. You don't need a visa to go anywhere. By the time you are collecting visas, it's because you want to travel, not because you are afraid. I need to tell somebody that. Some people have been established by God. They want to run away. And then they're going to start struggling again. No. Listen, wherever you are, God has planted you there and your future is bright. Give him thanks for that. Wave those two hands and say, Lord, thank you. Because my future is bright. Thank you because you planted me. Thank you because it is well with my soul. Thank you because it is well with my soul. Thank you because it is well with my soul. Lord, I worship you. Every hurt in your soul, he's healing it now. From the depths of your spirit to outside your body, healing is for you now. If there's anybody sick, any part of your body, put a hand there and with your own mouth, speak the word there. Say, himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes, I am healed. Speak to that area and I will agree with you in a moment. Speak. Let me give you a few seconds to speak to that area. You have a headache that's been troubling you, waking you up every night. That one has even gone away already. Because what was causing it was worry. You didn't realize it. You wake up every night, headache, pounding in your head. Don't worry, nothing is wrong with you. You were worried. You didn't realize it. You were worried. That worry is gone. That headache is gone. In agreement with you, I say you are healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that spirit's infirmity, we drive it out by the reason of the word of God. Freedom is your portion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for today. You are a good God. You came to set us free, Jesus. The Son of Man has set us free. Jesus has set you and me free.
Amen.
And listen, we are free indeed.
Amen.
Yes, that's what I've been preaching, the freedom that's in Christ. We are free indeed. Lord, we thank you for the understanding you have given us again today. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
The Lord is good. All right, if you want to know how we do our chants, every cult has its own chant. We are members of the cult of Christ. Not this ministry. I didn't say this ministry is a cult of Christ. I said Christians everywhere. Jesus has put them in a group which is more powerful than Ogboni. And that group is called the body of Christ. We are very, very terrible people in court. Power. Power-wise, we blow on you like this, all the witches will just collapse. Yeah, are you getting my point? We are too powerful. Apostle,
yes, it's
not true. That's why we sleep anyhow. Not sleep anyhow. You all put our leg. My wife said I sleep funny. She doesn't know how I stay. I will just sleep. You see a bed very big like this. Half of my body is on the bed. The rest is hanging outside. I was, how do you sleep like this? It's because now you know the reason. I'm free in Christ Jesus. The Lord is good. So every cult has its incantations. They have their sacrifices. We have our own sacrifices too. I sacrifice the blood of Jesus and the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
And then we have incantations, which is the word of God. So let's listen to one incantation if you are not used to it. You can download it from our website. Just go to the section under sermons or tracts. You see declarations, KWM. Let's take one now as we close. 1, 2, let's go. What is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We have filled the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now please bless somebody beside you. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Bless another person. This is your season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. Bless one more person. This is your season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus.